We know you love your music, so we'll be quick. We love helping you stream the hottest music. And since you're the de facto DJ, everyone's counting on you. So we reimagined Wi-Fi and created Xfinity XFi so you can stream your favorite tunes with reliable speeds whenever, wherever. Whether you're hosting a party or doing a little spring cleaning, you can stream confidently with XFi. This is beyond Wi-Fi. This is XFi. Visit Xfinity.com/XFi to learn more.
This is Let's Get Jacked Up on Fringe Radio Network.
All right, let's do this. Come
ready?
On. Yeah.
All right, so we're
going to
do the...
Let me get my head into
right,
this
let's get
now.
Into it. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do a quick... Let's get a quick prayer just to get on focus. I'll pray real fast.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to come together and to really just glorify you, Lord, through these words that we are finding on your pages, Lord. I pray that you just continue to open our eyes and to open our minds, Lord, and to constantly question and really scrutinize one another, Lord, for the truth that is in your word. Lord, I pray that the things that we are about to share with our audiences thought-provoking, Lord, but inspired by you, Lord. I pray that everything that comes out of our mouth is something that can be used in a positive light to really glorify who you are and what you are, Lord, and that is our Savior and our living God and our Father. I just ask that you watch over us as we continue through this. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go ahead and get started. I'll do the 3-2-1 countdown. So, 3...
Ready to go live in 3, 2, 1.
This is Let's Get Jacked Up on the Fringe Radio Network.
And I look at the whole religious scene today, and all I see are the inventions and ministries of man and flesh. It's mostly powerless. It has no impact on the world. And I see more of the world coming into the church and impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. I see entertainment taking over the house of God. An obsession with entertainment in God's house. A hatred of correction and a hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful. Acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish, deep pain, deep sorrow, agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish. You find it in the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem is in ruins. How is God going to deal with this? How is God going to restore the ruin? Now, folks, look at me. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was a career man. But this was a praying man. And God found a man who would not just have a flash of emotion, not just some great sudden burst of concern, and then let it die. He said, no, I broke down, and I wept, and I mourned, and I fasted. And then I begin to pray night and day. Why didn't these other men, why didn't they have an answer? Why didn't God use them in restoration? Why didn't they have a word? Because there was no sign of anguish. No weeping. Not a word of prayer. It's all ruined. Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all that God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land. Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion, blind to lukewarmness, blind to the mixture that's creeping in. That's all the devil wants to do is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Where are the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids they know are not hearing and they're going to hell? You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish, a place where lifetime decisions are made. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing his heart with you. There's going to be no renewal, no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let him once again break us. It's getting late and it's getting serious.
Coming to you live somewhere deep in Fresno, California, it's Let's Get Jacked Up! Three sinners saved by grace.
Now, here are your hosts, Jack, Tim, and Bobby.
And welcome to I am so jacked up. That was such an intro, guys. If your heart is not ready for some Jesus talk, well, I don't know. You better check yourself. Oh, man.
Before you riggedy wreck yourself.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tim Parrish. With me today is Jack Blankenship, and across from me is Bobby Raymond, back from vacation. Yeah.
Brother, man, that was... Oh, what a great message that was.
I lit you up, my friend.
Woo! Pastor David Wilkerson. Oh, man, what a message. Just, man, I'm pumped up. Today we're talking about the falling away of the church, and I am ready. But before we get to that, Mr. Bible, how was your vacation, man?
Hey, you know, man, it was pretty stinking good. I went down to the SoCal. That's the Southern California, down into Oceanside, which is just north of... San Diego. Yes, it's close to a place called Carlsbad, which is known for
not Sinbad.
No. There's a Legoland there, and my kids love Legos, and I love land, so it was a good mix.
Boom!
There you go. My dad joke of the day. we were there for 5 days, and actually, it was 6 days, 5 nights, and. Went and did a whole lot of nothing, and it was great.
Well, I bet.
Yeah. Except for the Legoland thing. I mean, that was fun, but it was required fun. So.
Yeah. You know, the good thing about this show is we all, each one of us could take a vacation, and we could still be live. Because somebody filled in for you last week.
That's right.
Rich Sheets, thank you for coming on the show last week. And then, so we could just rotate in vacation. So that's nice. Not to say we'll do that, but we can, right? Anyway, I don't know why you guys are looking at me like that, boom. So, Jack, how are you this week?
I'm excellent.
Yeah, okay.
I'm excited to get into the topic.
Amen. Today. Okay, then. Hey.
Today at work, I told Monica.
Okay.
Monica, if you're listening, you should be listening because you said you were going to listen.
Monica.
And Aaron.
Are you related to Felicia?
And Aaron Blankenship that I was getting pumped up for tonight. Tonight's show.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He's getting not just jacked up, but pumped up.
Pumped up.
Pumped up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pumped, it's funny, that intro, on Wednesday, yesterday, I was praying about, I had nothing for the intro, guys. And a lot of times, every week, I like to do some kind of intro, something interesting, something a little entertaining for y'all, but also with some truth.
Because we're boring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so... I was praying, Lord, I need a good intro this week. I have nothing. And I prayed, and after I prayed, I went on to the net, right? And the first thing I clicked onto, that came up, and it was perfect for the topic that we're going to go to on today. So, Pastor David Wilkerson, you look that up. It's about the falling away, too. So, it's wow. Okay, so the falling away of the church. First of all, has it happened yet? And if so, how bad is it? And what does it actually look like? And we're going to show several examples of it, at least audio-wise, of what that does look like. So, Jack, why don't you kick it off?
there's a pastor. They call him a pastor anyway. I have my doubts. He's retired, and he now consults for USA Today. And I'm pulling it up right here. And one second.
Yeah, well, because you sent me this in the early week, and you know, at first we thought I was going to do something different, but then I'm like, you know what? It's not just about, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the gays and the lesbians, but it's not just about that.
No, it's a mindset that Christianity is passé. Okay.
Yes, it's a
and it's a whole mindset, and
that's just a result of what's happening,
right? And what and it's like, guys, it's like cancer. If you smoke and you get cancer, well, cancer is kind of the byproduct of smoking cigarettes or using asbestos, and you know, working with asbestos. It's kind of a byproduct of it, so you can understand. If somebody gets cancer, if they smoked all their life,
yes.
Okay, you don't even have a second thought. What, did he smoke? You know, you got right. Cancer. Did you smoke? And so there are people that get cancer in, you know, that it comes upon them in other ways. But when you say you have cancer, people automatically, it's kind of like a question. Did you smoke? You know, how did you smoke a lot? Kind of thing. Well, right now, we're seeing this massive attack on Christianity. Christians are being persecuted all over the planet. China is coming down hard on Christians, destroying it. They even let it be known that they destroyed a mega church with explosives. They actually demolitioned it and leveled it, okay? And we're seeing tons of persecution, and Islam is growing like mad, and they want to, you know, we're infidels, and they want to get rid of us. And then in the schools, they're doing sex education and transgender informing in California for 5-year-olds. Okay, kindergartners don't need to know anything about sex. Right. Okay,
yes.
And at 11 years old, they have full on hardcore sex education that. You might, at 18, I might not have discussed with my wife even, okay? I mean, they got some hardcore stuff like S&M and bestiality and sodomizing. And their teachers are going to have these discussions with them now at 11 years old in schools, okay? And so it's a full court press. Now we got Nancy, California, trying to make basically anything that teaches against the gay LGBTQ lifestyle outlawed. So that means that the Bible would be outlawed. But now they're talking about going to they're talking about going to Congress and getting the Constitution of the United States rewritten for this new Green Deal in accordance with what they're pushing in California. So we're seeing a time where the Bible's under attack, and this is all going on. But what we're seeing, that's all outside the church. But what we're seeing inside the church is more dead. Satan's not attacking the church. He's destroying it from within right now.
Exactly.
Just like the United States is being destroyed from within. And this pastor on USA Today, he's a retired pastor, named Oliver Thomas, and he made a couple statements, and one of them is that Christians need to accept the LGBTQ community, and that we can't trust the Bible.
Yeah, it says here that he says the Bible can't be trusted, and that the church must accept open LGBTQP. I'm not even sure what P means. Members in order to survive.
Right.
Wow.
And so in my viewpoint, I don't want the church to survive if it has to, if you have to. That's like me. I had a problem with drugs. I had a bunch of problems before I accepted Christ. And it took 7 years after I accepted Christ as my Savior for the Holy Spirit to work on me, but I was a new creation, and my old me didn't want the things that were sin prior to him, and it didn't take somebody beat me over the head with a Bible. I knew right from wrong the moment I received the Holy Spirit, because I was a new creation with, as a temple of God, with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. So all of a sudden, unlike before you've accepted Jesus Christ, and you may not realize the difference between right and wrong. Jesus said, how would you have known you had sinned if I had not told you? Okay, well, that means that there's this element of loss of knowledge or the inability to tell right from wrong. You see that?
Yeah.
And but as a Christian, we're new creation and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us if you're born again. And that Holy Spirit knows the truth. Mm. Whether you have the Word of God in front of you or not, it knows the truth. And it's going to change. You may not. There's a saying in Christianity that prior to Christ, you couldn't have changed yourself or you would have done it. But after the Holy Spirit, after accepting Jesus Christ and you become a new creation, now you're empowered by the Holy Spirit and that, and God has that strength. Beforehand, you're tripped up by Satan and all the demons and your right. temptations and everything else. But now you have the ability to fight off all of that thanks to the Holy Spirit. But that also means that by, how do you fight off something that you don't recognize?
Yeah.
And this all comes from, the knowledge of this comes from where, Tim?
Well, the Bible.
Yes. And how do you, how can you call yourself a Christian if the Bible speak is all about Jesus Christ and yet you can't trust the Bible?
Yeah. And let me just say this beforehand before we really dive into it. Guys, we're not bashing lesbian, gays, and all these people. We're not bashing them. What we're simply saying in this course here is that they welcome them to church. Please, have them come to church. But when they get saved, okay, we all know as when you become a Christian, you come as you are. But once the Holy Spirit moves into you, he does change you, and it's a gradual change. It could take some time. But what this is saying is we cannot survive. This guy is saying we can't, that church can't survive without these people.
But it's also telling them that these people come as they are and stay as they are.
And stay as they are, right.
There's no repentance, there's no change, there's no sign of real progression as a Christian.
Right.
Other than saying, I'm a Christian. And we all know that anybody can say anything. It's not about what you say. It's about how you act.
Yes, exactly. So that we're not bashing them. I just want you to understand that. I'm sure people might mistake that, and we're not. In fact, Jesus, he loves the sinner, but he hates the sin.
And I had a long conversation today about something similar to this with a coworker. And, you know, Christians are getting a bad rap, true Christians. And how we're getting a bad rap is that the world's telling the gays and lesbians and Islam that we hate them.
And we don't.
And it's actually that's the farthest from the truth. That's a complete lie. And here's the deal. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that we, each individual person on this planet, could accept him and be saved.
All of us are broken in some way or another.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we as Christians, we love them so much that we're willing to tell them the hard truth. Okay? They may not want to hear it. If you tell a child that wants a cookie that, no, you can't have a cookie, they don't want they don't want to hear it.
Right.
Okay? And you tell anybody something that they really want to do, that they can't do it, and they're going to be mad at you.
But you see, and the problem with that, though, is that in today's society, we're all about that YOLO lifestyle. We're all about that I'm going to do what feels good for me because it feels right, not necessarily that it is right. I mean, let's take a look. We're talking about this LGBTQ, the P that you want to talk about.
What is that?
Pedophiles.
Oh, I should have thought of that.
There's a new agenda going around that they don't want to call themselves pedophiles. They want to call themselves what is the right term for it? I want to say youth-attracted individuals.
Yeah, something like that.
Something that, you know, it's a spin phrase that's going to make
it sound
them
nicer.
Make them seem less provocative than they are, you know? And it's that slippery slope, right? At what point, when you're going down the hill on a muddy slope, how do you stop? You can't.
Yeah.
You only stop once you hit the end. And the problem is the end for Christians is destruction, because once you start letting some things in, once you go lax on some, everybody else is going to expect the same in return.
Right.
And where I'm going with this is because I'm a Christian and I believe in free will, I want to tell you what the Bible says, what Jesus expects out of us, and what the signs of being born again should be. And your wanter changes. It's a well-known fact. You can ask any born-again Christian, their desires change. They didn't change themselves. Their desires changed. And if you have no change in your mind, in your heart, in your inside, you're probably not born again, but you think you are. You're being deceived. But in Islam, I'm an American. I will go to war. I will fight for their rights of freedom and free speech and free choice to live as they want to live. And I will die for any Muslim. I'll die for any gay person, any lesbian person, any whatever they want to call themselves person, so that they have the right to live free in America. But here's the deal. What I'm seeing is they don't want us to have those rights. Okay, and they are calling Christians haters. But here's truth. Truth is that I may not agree with their lifestyle, but I love them.
Right.
Okay. I don't agree with Islam, but I want Islam to have the right, just like the Hindus, the Christians, the Catholics, to preach their faith in America, because they have freedom to do that. But I don't want them killing people or raping people or hurting people. And this is what they're doing all over the world. So they call me an Islamophobe, okay, that I hate them. No, I don't hate them. I don't want us to experience what they're doing in the rest of it. If they were peaceful, truly peaceful, and the government and the news media didn't have to hide that it was Islam doing all these things in other countries and in America, and we understood they were truly peaceful, nobody would be afraid of them. But when women are getting raped because they're not adhering, they're dressing wrong in the wrong neighborhoods, or they're infidels, or people are being killed by suicide bombers or attacks by Islam, these are fear tactics. And Islam is killing people. They're literally killing people. And here's the thing. They don't. What do they tell women? You be quiet, you wear a hijab, you cover yourself up, you don't speak in the same presence of a man, you don't drive a car in Islamically controlled countries, you will cover your head, all kinds of stuff. Where are all the feminists?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, here's the deal. Christians, we tell gays and lesbians and transgenders and all these that what you're doing is a sin. But I was a drunkard. And being a drunkard was a sin. And I accepted Christ and I changed that. That changed in me through the Holy Spirit. They want to say they accepted Christ and then not have any change, not have any representation of change.
Stay the same.
So that's unacceptable. That's
knowledge of Christ.
That's knowledge of Christ. That's when you know him. It's like you didn't know you were in love until you were in love. You might have wanted to be in love with somebody when you were a kid, but you'd never been in love. And then there's a difference between true love and puppy love. Puppy love is the desire to be in love. So you're in love with being in love.
Yeah.
But when God gives you that right person that you're going to spend eternity with, that's true love, okay? But where I'm going with this is that we're not killing the gays and lesbians, but Islam is.
But we're also in a place though where if you are emotionally hurting somebody, according to them, you might as well be killing them.
Well, that's insane. That's another form of insanity.
This
because
is like
sticks
that,
and stones hey, can break my that, bones, that, but words will never hurt me. What happened to that
world,
saying?
You know the first world problems? This is, to me, a prime example of a first world problem. We have Christians that are being flung, handcuffed, off of the top of a building, of a multiple-story building, simply because they are gay. That is ridiculous.
That's right? Also
you yes. have people that are being beheaded because mm-hmm. they claim to be Christian.
Right.
That is ridiculous.
Yes.
You have people, you have women who are being murdered by their fathers because they were raped.
Right.
That is ridiculous.
Right.
All of these are happening in Muslim-based Islamic countries.
Right. We're not doing any of that.
Right. We are saying you might want to rethink what you're doing because, you know, according to the biblical standard, that's not a good idea. If you need help, we can help you with that. We've all been there. We're all sinners. We've all done things that we regret. That's the story of life. That's what makes us broken and makes us so vulnerable and ready to accept Christ once you are at that point.
Right.
And that is what's giving us, and I don't want to say persecution because that's, I wouldn't call it a persecution per se. I will say that it is an attack, right? But you get people who, there are very many people who are very near and dear to me who are extremely left-side thinkers.
Yes.
And we get along just fine. We just know not to talk about certain things. When we do talk about it, they pull their bootstraps up and I pull up mine because there's going to be a discussion, right? And the thing is that it's as a Christian, our job is to come at them with love. Last night I had my youth group. Okay, we talked about what it means to be salty in today's world. Right, today's world when somebody says, you know, boy, you being salty, right? That means like you're being sassy, you're being sarcastic, you're kind of like done, and you're expressing how you quote unquote really feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ was salty a long time ago, but he said to be the salt of the earth, right? And he said that if you're not showing Christ's love, Christ's generosity, Christ's acceptance of people for them to come as they are, then you might as well be thrown on a trash heap because you've lost the taste of God. You've lost what is important to be a Christian, right? We're to be God's example here on earth. We can't be God's example here on earth if we're if we're criticizing and belittling people for their lifestyle, they could turn around and do the same thing to us. You know, there are things that I've done in my life that I will probably go to my grave with. And thank God that all I have to do is confess my sins to him and repent and turn away.
Hmm.
You know, if I had to be like Scientologists and you know, have somebody write down all the bad things I've done and keep them in lock and key somewhere, that would be a little frightening.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is that we're, as Christians, we have one job, and that is to be a Christian, and that is to love people. What did Christ say to do when somebody steals your jacket?
Give them the other one.
Give them your shirt, right? Somebody demands that you walk a mile with them.
Walk two.
Walk two, right? Somebody, all of these things. It's like, if we were to be legitimately doing what Christ wants us to do and still being fierce in our proclamations of what's right and wrong, but we're coming at it with this sense of love, right? How can you then, I don't know, I just feel like, we have too many groups of people that are going about it the wrong way. But it's on both sides. There's two extremes. They're way too understanding, and they just let everybody in, act however you want. Debauchery doesn't matter. Just, hey, you know who God is, right? Good, you're going to heaven.
Yeah, and that's not true. Yeah.
Right. I know that, but yeah, that's right. That's Satan, that one extreme. And then the other extreme is you know, we hate everyone if you're not a Baptist, you know?
Right, that's the other extreme.
And that's the other extreme, right.
So that's where we started with that story.
Right.
Because the question is, really, has the landslide started?
Of course, I would say yes.
Yes. It's not only started, it's been here, folks. The Antichrist spirit has been here since the beginning.
Well, of course it has,
and that's what we're dealing with. And so the fall of the church, falling away of the church, is happening. It's been happening.
Well,
it's just seemingly getting worse.
It is because you know the thing is that it's you know, it's the multiplication effect. You know, 2 times 2 is not a lot. 4 times 4 is not a lot. 16 times 16 is not a lot. But as you get bigger and once you start multiplying upon itself before you know it, you know, one multiplication factor and then boom, it's exploded, you know? And I mean, I was just reading an article just right now. You know, have you guys ever heard of the New Age religion?
New Age religion. Yeah,
New Age religion. This is a New Age religion. It's being pushed by Oprah Winfrey.
Aha.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know who Oprah Winfrey is,
she's, where have you been?
She might be a little bit of an influential individual, right?
Just a little.
So this idea of this New Age religion, and it's really appealing to this generation too, because it's kind of like cookie cutter. You make it however you – I mean, not cookie cutter. It's customized. Ah. You can make it however you want, right? It talks about how Jesus is not necessarily the only way to get into heaven. Right, it says that. I'm trying to find just little snippets from this article. She says that she was once a Baptist, but she no longer believes that Jesus is the only way to reach God.
Wow!
Right. Some of the things that they believe go say that God is in everything. Okay, pantheism. All things are one. Monism. Okay, that man is God, that the mind creates reality, and that one's own experience validates the truth. And that's the one that gets me. That one's own experience validates the truth. So the thing is that truth is now a perception of your own reality, not so there's nothing to compare it to. There's nothing to hold it
up against.
So
if I'm a serial killer, What is truth for me might not be the same truth for you.
That's right.
Okay, and it's okay. Then it's okay for me to kill somebody.
In Oprah's case, yes.
Right. This is that. That's the you would have to take this from a very lean mindset and go, okay, well, it doesn't pertain to this guy or this thing. You'd have to get all these things it doesn't pertain to, and you'd have to create a parameters that statement would fit into.
Well, the problem is that if you think about it, what does it talk about in Matthew? Narrow is the gate.
Gate.
Right? This is saying that the broad is the gate. It's saying that the right way is the path that everyone is taking.
Everybody can take. And
Christ himself said, no, that's not it. It's the narrow path. It's the path that is... That is difficult and not very many people are on, right? That's the path that's going to get you to eternity. The rest of the ones, they're all just following each other like cattle because they're not relying on themselves. They're not relying on Christ. They're relying on themselves.
Right,
because they're experiencing life.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know, look, in 2 Thessalonians, we even see this, guys. So 2 Thessalonians 3. Okay, it even reads here, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, meaning the Lord's return, except there come a falling away first. This is where we're at. Falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That would be the Antichrist, but the Antichrist spirit has been here.
Yeah. Well, it's here and it's alive and well in churches today.
One thing we have to remember, too, that Antichrist... Is a phrase.
I guess we should explain what that is, huh?
There's the Antichrist, and then there is Antichrist, right?
Right.
So the Antichrist is an entity, a person who is going to be the alternative to Christ, right? But to have an Antichrist mentality does not mean that you walk around with Satan sitting on your shoulder whispering all of these deceptions into your ear.
No.
No, it is literally being anti, which anti means what?
The opposite of.
Not
right?
Christ.
Against.
Non-Christian, right? Against Christ.
Right.
So, and that's one thing I always tell my kiddos too, you know, that my youth when I'm working with them, I'm like, hey, here's the deal. Once you know who Jesus Christ is, right? Christ himself says that if you know who I am and you choose to not believe in who I am and not walk with who I am, then you are against me. And I say, what is against? Against is anti. So if you're against Christ, you're anti-Christ. And my kids are always like, what? No, I'm not the Antichrist. I said, no, I didn't say the Antichrist. Right. I'm saying you're Antichrist, right? And it's mind-boggling to think that as long as you are thrown into this generalized cesspool of acceptance other than Christ, it's okay. But once that Antichrist label gets thrown out there, it changes things. It really does, because – and that to me tells me that there's value. It's just like, why is it that when people curse, they don't ever say, you know, Allah damn it?
Right.
Why don't they?
Yeah.
Because there's no value there. There's no value in that, right?
Yeah, so I thought that too, Bobby. I'm like, just growing up, I'm just thinking, how come if they don't believe in God, they always say that, or they say, oh my God, or, you know, in vain.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean.
Or even saying, you know, Jesus Christ in a vulgar term, you know? I mean, people do that too. And it's
as
so funny because it's.
As a
cuss word. And here's why. Again, it's this idea of Satan coming in and what's there's a few things that he's done that is exactly what he wanted, right? One of them is convince people that he doesn't exist, then convince people that God doesn't exist, right? And then on top of that, take and belittle the value of God. And you do that with vilifying his name, treating his name as a foul word. Right?
Yes.
Making it so that Christ is almost an embarrassing thing to talk about. How many Christians, people out there, I want you to really think about it and mentally raise your hand. As a Christian, when was the last time you actually stood up when somebody said Christ's name in vain and said, I would appreciate it if you didn't do that?
Boy.
It doesn't happen. You know why? Because you don't want to offend them.
Well, but they offend us.
It's amazing that, you know, I'm I go through this daily, by the way. I can go in, I hear people listening to rap music and rock and roll, and it's talking about doing to women some very ugly things, killing people, killing cops, all kinds of vile stuff. And
it's offensive.
And it's offensive to me.
Right.
But I don't I tolerate it and I deal with it because the Holy Spirit is not going to let it sink into my brain. But this is all over the airwaves. This is being in inner city gangs. This is in all over the place that you hear this music and no one's offended. It's okay for the F bomb to be used all over the place. It's okay to call, talk about sexual situations with women and other men and all kinds of stuff. Anything goes. But the moment you mention, I'm sorry, this offends me. You are the worst person on the planet.
Yeah.
But if you mention God, Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you're offending. What is that? Where they don't want us to salute the flag anymore or say the Pledge of Allegiance because it's
under God.
It offends Muslims. They don't want us to say in God we trust because it offends Muslims. Well, everybody's getting offended by words. You know, and the old saying was,
and yet Christians are the only ones not allowed to be offended.
Right. Mm-hmm. See? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That used to be, when I was a kid, everybody used to say that. Now you never hear it because they're allowing, they have no thick skin anymore. They're allowing words to hurt them, okay, and offend them. And now we live in a court attitude where if it offends somebody, as Robert said, if it offends them verbally, then it should be a crime. It's like attacking them or killing them. No, it's not. It's truly not. Just because you say something I don't like, it's not attacking me and killing me. You listen to music I don't like, that's actually offensive. Or how about this? Has anybody ever saw? I just accidentally fell on some show. I guess it was real popular back when. but it was these little cartoon looking guys, and it's like a adult thing, and they're putting down Jesus Christ and Christians. And
are you talking about South Park?
South Park, yeah. I actually landed on an episode of that, and I almost threw up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that was a hit. So that tells you where the mindset of the people are. Okay?
Well, because it's offensive, but it's offensive on their terms. And this is the catch, right? People love vulgarity. But if the vulgarity is offensive to them, right? It's almost like
you're a fuddy duddy.
Well, it's almost like the anti vulgar is offensive to them. Right. If you go to, you know, they have like these comedians who are, they call them like dry bar comedians because they don't curse. You know, they're not as popular.
Right.
Because they're not being vulgar. They're not being explicit. They're not talking about their genitalia, and they're not talking about how, you know, the girls do this and the girls do that. You know, I mean, I listened to this comedian and I was forced to because I was what was I doing? I was with somebody anyways, and I couldn't turn it off. But this guy, he is a, was talking about how his wife and him are into, swinging.
Oh.
Right. And, menage a trois.
Yes.
And that's actually caused them to have a more fulfilled relationship.
Wow.
You know? And I'm like, well, that's kind of backwards thinking. I mean, I guess for some people that could work, who am I to say anything about that? I personally can barely handle my wife. But the idea is that you're proclaiming this as some sort of achievement that is positive and that is almost necessary to achieve some sort of feeling that is acceptable, right? Mm-hmm. The idea of not doing those things, if I was to tell him, if I was to meet this person out somewhere and say, you know, the things you do, that's a little despicable. You know, your foundational truths are offensive to me. He would say, so what? Don't listen to me.
Right.
Right?
Well, and guys, there's more to it than that. I mean, I told somebody the other day that my wife and I had been married 35 years. And the look on this person's face blew my mind. They were like, so how many girlfriends you had? And I go, what? Well, gosh, you know, you can't have sex with one woman for 35 years. Right?
Well, I did.
And I said, yeah, well, yeah. And they go, well, did they get old? Well, no. You got to keep it alive. It takes work. See, that's the thing, guys. Everything, they don't want anything that's going to make them invest in it.
Yeah.
They don't want to trust anything. And I don't want to add to my marriage. I don't want, I want to my marriage to honor God. And just the idea of somebody touching my wife makes me sick to my stomach. Okay. And to think that something so vile as to bring sin into your marriage through adulterizing on a regular basis for fun, because it's not for intimacy.
No.
Intimacy, it requires love to have intimacy.
Okay. So let me ask you this. So now that let's try to stay on tack of this idea of on task, this idea of
the church
falling away, right? So you talked about how you had several clips of different things.
And what I want to do is take a break here, and when we come back, I got some good audio clips, some good examples of what's actually happening in the church today.
Let me just ask you: is the farting preacher in there?
I do not have that. If you could bring that up for us, that'd be awesome.
Okay, I'll see if I can find the farting preacher.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes, of course.
Of this guy, but I thought it was a joke.
It's not a joke.
I mean, it is a joke. It's the guy, basically the short of it is, this is the guy who's one of those money peddlers, you know, those televangelicals or whatever they are called. And he makes these weird faces. He before he like starts asking for money and like speaking in tongues and all this stuff. Somebody went through, and every time he made a funny face, they filled the silence with a fart.
Yeah.
And it's very entertaining.
Wow.
Yeah, if I can find it, I will.
Yeah, please. Please try. Okay, we're going to take a
poor
break.
Poor pastor.
We got to hear some Steve. We got to hear some, alien. We'll be right back.
Where are you going?
I got to go.
Go on. I'll be fine. I don't need you.
Well, let's get jacked up. We'll be right back after these messages.
Remember to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Let's Get Jacked Up. Check out our website at letsgetjackedup.com. Listen and download our episodes from our website, the Spreaker app, and of course at fringeradionetwork.com.
You cannot keep me away. This alien is here to stay. I'm Captain Leif Walker here for the Fringe Network. I can't believe that the Let's Get Jacked Up crew called me a demon on their live show. Well, just for that, I'm going to promote other shows on this network. That's right, other shows like Spirit Wars with Michael Basham, Iron Show with Johnny McMahon, Eyes Wide Open and Getting Under Sanding with Leonard Olivares, and the new shows like Starship Trailblazers with Tony Floyd, and a brand new show named Bigfoot, Terror in the Woods. Plus much, much more. All this on this network. Say, Bobby from Bobby's World, tell the people what network they can hear these shows on.
On Fringe Radio Network.
That's right, Bobby, but you forgot to put .com at the end of it. FringeRadioNetwork.com. That's FringeRadioNetwork.com.
The only network station.
Listen and download today.
Look at that. Milepost 8 on the 316 highway. I've called this, I distinctly remember my Harley aha moment. I was honeymooning in Hawaii when, having run out of things to do in the daylight, I spotted a motorcycle rental place and thought, I'm going to do it. So I broke up my credit card and, fully equipped with their helmet, my swimsuit, flip-flops, and a t-shirt, I hit the road, running, and headed down the highway. Okay, so I broke every safety law, but not the speed law, and had a great time for a couple of hours. I recall that it was a 1997 lowrider, and awesome. I hadn't gone more than a few miles when it hit me. There's a lot of great motorcycles out there, but there is only one Harley Davidson. At that time, my sweet ride was a shadow of a Harley V-twin. Nice bike, but not a Harley. Then I saw my dream Harley, a 1997 Heritage Springer with only 357 miles on it, and that was in 1999. I was in San Diego visiting a Harley shop, and it was my wife's birthday. She saw it and said, you should get it. What could I do? Turn her down on her birthday? Yeah, she was definitely a keeper. I guess you could say all the veil was taken off my eyes, which have been blinded by metric cruisers. Love them too, but they're not Harleys. Enough said about that. I also remember my aha moment regarding knowing God and receiving salvation. It was actually 55 years ago last month when I understood for the first time that Christ died for my sins. I heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My eyes were opened, like it says in 2 Corinthians 3:16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That passage also tells us that it's the Holy Spirit's job to remove the things that blind us to God's love in Christ. Many can tell you about God's love in Christ, but until the Holy Spirit works in your heart and mind, you just don't get it. If you currently don't just get it, just ask him. He will remove the veil. A truly smart person, the chairman of the Academic Senate Committee of California Community Colleges, a lady named Renee Reyes-Tuller, wrote in October of 2002, there's a saying in the biker world, I mean the Harley-Davidson world, that seems appropriate to our state of affairs on the front line as community college counseling facilities and faculties. That saying is, if I have to explain, you wouldn't understand. What do I mean? How does this relate to riding a Harley Davidson motorcycle. That was her quote. And the rest of her article was pretty much off topic, talking about the world of academia or whatever. But I still have friends who still don't get it, even after my testifying for 20 years about riding Harleys. And I can't take the veil away, but God's Spirit took the veil away so I could behold Jesus. How are you doing with that? Can you see him? Here it is, off the main highway. And that's where we find people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Remember, Jesus didn't come to call the healthy, but the sick. What's the difference? The healthy just think they're doing okay. They're just as sick as the others. But with the veil in place, they refuse to admit it, even to themselves. So let's go off the main highway and shine the light of God's love wherever the road takes us. Maybe we'll even see a few veils taken away. It will be worth the effort.
Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
So get ready to take a hike, because we are two wild and crazy guys!
Oh, welcome back to the show. Let's get jacked up on Fringe Radio Network. Oh, you know it, the best. Now here's Jack, Tim, and Bobby.
Come on!
You're listening to us on the Fringe Radio Network.
All right, and welcome.
Man, I like
back.
That. Ooh, I'm loud. Right, turn me down a little bit.
Welcome back to Let's Get Jacked Up, and we are jacked up on volume right now.
Yeah, we are.
Hey, guys. We have the farting preacher.
I think we have the farting preacher.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to try something.
First off, hold on.
Yes.
Dude, turn my gain down, man. I'm on fire. My gain. My gain up on the top, the big what? There you go. Sorry, guys, we're live dealing with things. That's just how we do. All right, so this is a farting preacher. Let's see if we can actually hear anything. I'm playing it directly from my computer into our sound machine. Let's see how this goes.
And you have faith. You just need to use it. Say it.
Can you hear it?
Oh yeah, good.
Hallelujah!
Paid her bills and her neighbors got blessed.
It's funny because every time you hear a fart, it's because the dude is like wincing in some way.
What?
He just looks so confused. It's hilarious.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, oh, yes, I sense your presence. God put this in my spirit man. Praise God. Just sense the anointing flowing out of me.
Where did you get this?
So
you guys, okay, so we're going to have put a link to this on our website. You guys got to check this out. If you haven't seen the farting preacher before, this is literally 9 minutes of this guy doing this. And it is hilarious.
Question about paying his bill. That's something. That's
it just cracks me up. When you see his face.
A new meaning on a crappy sermon.
When you see his face, I'm telling you, it is the best part because he's got this weird, like, pleased yet confused look.
That's where it's at. Hallelujah!
Right.
The first thing that happens, that's it!
All right. So but you got to watch it because he gets into like speaking in tongues and then he's doing like that. And then he pauses.
Oh.
You know. Anyways, it's so again, this is this idea, the farting preacher, right? I mean, obviously this is not real.
Oh.
This guy is, but he is one of those, say it and claim it type preachers, the type who's like, you know, give me 1,000 and God will bless you with 10,000 kind of guy, you know? So he has everything coming to him, but it's still super, it's very funny.
Well, thank you for that. I needed that one.
That okay. Farting preacher, baby.
Well, all right, before we get
I think it stinks.
Thank you. Wow. You know.
Somebody had to say it.
Before we get into more clips, here's a great verse, guys. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you and sparing the flock. So there's going to be wolves.
What verse is that?
This is Acts 20:28.
Thank you.
So, there's going to be wolves coming into churches, acting like shepherds.
Yeah. Well, how else would you? It says in the Bible, in the last days, Jesus said this. He said, they'll try to deceive the elect as if that were possible. It's not possible because you have the Holy Spirit inside you. If you don't have the Holy, if you're not born again and you don't have the Holy Spirit inside you, you can be deceived.
Right.
And that's what's happening. A lot of people in churches are being deceived. And what's really sad is these pastors, these false shepherds, these wolves in sheep's clothing or shepherd's clothing, they're deceiving a lot of people. And Satan isn't attacking the church. He's in the church.
He's in the church. So we're going to play some clips right now about now you had the farting preacher. Well, this is a guy that this is a pastor that Jack sent me. And evidently this, I believe this is in South Africa. And he makes his congregation eat some grass. That's interesting, Jack. Let's take a listen to that.
Eating grass may seem like an unorthodox way to show your religious devotion. But for members of the Raboni Center Ministries in Hurunkura, South Africa, grazing on greenery is a key part of their spiritual practice. Pastor Lesejo Daniel, who runs the ministry, believes it brings worshippers closer to God, with some members of the congregation even claiming it has cured them of serious health defects.
I want to lead people to a place they've never been today. You are here in this church, but I'm taking you on a journey. Wake up!
The pastor uses his services to lead his followers on a spiritual journey.
I'm taking you to hell.
He says, I'm taking you to hell.
I'm leading you to hell.
And
see how
excited?
Hell looks like.
No,
we're coming back.
Creepy.
Let's come back.
Oh.
Are you hungry? Be, sip, 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 sip. Be quiet. Okay, go and eat. Go and eat.
And while the group's unusual eating habits have attracted controversy online, members of the ministry have no plans to stop the practice.
If Jesus turned water into wine, we're turning the grass into spaghetti and beans.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, that's eating
He's
grass.
He's turning the noodle, I mean, spaghetti, the grass into spaghetti noodles.
Yeah, and they claim that no one's gotten sick from it, and it's all natural.
Well, yeah,
so why not eat it?
Sick from it.
What are we, cows? So that's the preacher that's making his congregation eat grass.
Yeah, on that video, these people are literally laying all over the church property and taking in mouthfuls of grass like animals do.
I guess they're trying to cut back on their lawn service.
Oh, man.
That's one way of doing it, I guess.
Wow.
Well, and what I'm where I was going, this whole thing is that I don't see this anywhere in the Bible.
Mm.
Okay? This is what Jim Jones did.
Yeah,
okay?
That's
Jim
in the
Jones,
70s, huh?
Jim Jones took his congregation to a private island, and there he gave them all poison, and they committed. They didn't even know. I don't even know if they were all knew that they were committing suicide, but they all died. Okay, and cults do this. Okay, they do crazy stuff like this. There's even a video on there. Did you get that video with the guy slaps that lady?
No, I couldn't find that one. But
okay, there's another church that there's a video, and the entire congregation, the pastor led them, and I searched for it today. I couldn't find it, and this is what's in the church, guys. This is really this is getting crazy. Okay, absolutely crazy in America. They don't want to go to church and be convicted of sin. They want to hear sweet sermons that tickle their ears. But in some other countries, they're getting these people to do some weird stuff. In this one church that I couldn't find the video on, but I watched it this week. Somebody posted it and sent it to me. They are literally commanded by the pastor, a whole congregation, to beat the sin out of each other. So the whole congregation is actually punching each other and kicking each other and fighting with each other to beat the sin out of each other.
Are they calling that slain in the spirit or something?
I they're getting slain all right. Yeah. And they're beating each other up pretty good in this video. And he says that they have to beat the evil out of themselves, the sin.
Wow.
And there's another pastor, and I sent it to Tim today. I tried to anyway. I guess he
and
didn't
I've
get
got
it.
And I've got it. I'm gonna save that one for later because it's okay. Kind of – I mean, look – it's funny, but it's not because people are falling for this.
Right.
You know, it's and only funny because it's ridiculous to us.
Right.
But it's not funny because people are following for these idiots.
Right. For this falsehood.
Yes.
Okay. And in the same token, we have churches now that are led by people who aren't saved. There's music. Here's another thing. There's musicians and singers leading the churches in praise worship that are just paid. They may not even be saved. But when they get up on that stage and they sing the words and they sound, they get the motion, it's acting. Okay? Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. When this person is out in the, you know, out in public and some young kid feels like, you know, this guy's really cool. This singer's really cool. This lead band musician's really cool, and he looks up to them. He meets them somewhere else just by chance, and he tells them. He says, "Hey, you know, I was wondering, do you have a minute?" And he says, "You know, I'm really dealing with this in my spiritual life. Is this guy going to tell this young kid, well, you know what? I'm not really a Christian."
It's only God can speak things into existence. That's not an ability.
Yeah, that was mine. My sorry about that, guys. My computer's got a mind of its own.
Oh, well, it's working.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Anyway, this kid meets this bass guitar player, mm-hmm. lead singer that's in front of the church every weekend. He sees him at a grocery store. And he starts talking to him, and he says, "Hey, he says I got this thing I'm really dealing with, and you know, how do you feel about this?" Because he thinks the guy's a spiritual leader because he's leading the church in music,
right?
Mm-hmm. And he's actually not saved; he just is a paid musician or a paid singer or a paid band member. And this person is not going to break his cover and tell this kid, "Well, I'm not really saved," because he could lose his position right. at the church.
Right.
So the kid says, "I'm dealing with this. Is this guy going to give him biblical advice or advice from his own experiences?"
Well, and that's part of the problem, you know, with today's church is that, you know, religion is just that. It is religion. It is a man-made thing to help us reach God. Sometimes it's biblical. A lot of the time, it's not. And sorry for my, you know, being able to hear my computer. But I was trying to go through. I found this clip, and if you guys are okay, I want you to listen to this. Okay. This is what this has to do with the. I mean, it's old as time, but the prosperity gospels.
Okay.
Right. So I want you guys to listen to this. Let me turn it on, and I want you to just listen to the way this guy preaches, and you tell me if there's any truth in the compassion that he's saying. Okay.
I don't know what you feel about the prosperity gospel, the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, but I'll tell you what I feel about it. Hatred. It is not the gospel. And it's being exported from this country to Africa and Asia, selling a bill of goods to the poorest of the poor. Believe this message, your pigs won't die, your wife won't have miscarriages, you have rings on your fingers and coats on your back. That's coming out of America. The people that ought to be giving our money and our time and our lives, instead selling them a bunch of crap called gospel. And here's the reason it is so horrible. When was the last time that any American, African, Asian ever said, "Jesus is all satisfying because you drove a BMW? Never. They'll say, "Jesus give you that?" "Yeah, well, I'll take Jesus. That's idolatry. That's not the gospel. That's elevating gifts above giver. I'll tell you what makes Jesus look beautiful is when you smash your car and your little girl goes flying through the windshield and lands like dead on the street. And you say, through the deepest possible pain, God is enough. God is enough. He is good. He will take care of us. He will satisfy us. He will get us through this. He is our treasure. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, there's nothing that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart, my little girl may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That makes God look glorious.
So if you know, listening to that, the reason why I played this one is because it kind of plays on this idea that somebody is saying that the prosperity gospels is just that, the gospels. It is something that was fabricated in the United States. You guys know what the prosperity gospels are, right? It's the idea of you say it to claim it, all that stuff, right? The problem with all of this is that you put Christian in front of it, you put gospel behind it, you do something that makes it seem godly, and one of two things happens. People will believe it, and other people will say, see, that's what you are. I don't like that. They blanket you, they put you into the same conversation with these people. Right. And those people are what's talked about in Jude. You know, the false teachers, the ones that have a special place in hell. You know, the ones that are telling, like it said here, it says, you know, we're in America, we're telling people in Africa and in Asia and all these places that, you know, send me money. And your cows won't die, and your kids won't, you know, your wife won't have a miscarriage. So you're saying you're taking the impoverished people and making them more impoverished for the sake of your own padded pocket, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And the problem is that you listen to like TBN.
Yeah,
there's some good people on TBN. Like if you'll get Greg Norrie. Greg Norrie is a good preacher. But he gets on there, but the vast majority of them, the Ron Parsley, the Benny Hinn, all of those guys, the ones who, you know, who talk these ideas that just because you say it makes it, God will respond to it. God will make it happen, you know, and it's ridiculous.
And this is, you know, this is where 2 Timothy 4:3 is talking about here, guys. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Mm. So be careful of these things, you know. So the Bible, it preaches against these things. I'm going to go ahead and play a few more for you guys, and then at the end of the prosperity clips, I should say, is some good preachers who kind of explain what is happening.
Message of hope, usually delivered with his trademark smile.
God is not in the condemning business. He's in the restoration business.
His sermons are relentlessly positive, and that's made him a target of critics who say Osteen sometimes sounds less like a preacher and more like a motivational speaker.
You have to take the hand you've been dealt and make the most of it.
You know, you've been criticized for church light.
Yeah, that's right.
For a cotton candy message. Do you feel like you're cheating people by not telling them about the hell part?
No, I really don't, because it's a different approach. You know, it's not hellfire and brimstone, but I say most people are beaten down enough by life. They already feel guilty enough. They're not doing what they should do, raising their kids. You know, we can all find reasons. So I want them to come to Lakewood or our meetings and be lifted up to say, you know what, I may not be perfect, but I'm moving forward. I'm doing better, and I think that motivates you to do better.
Now, this is called the Drenchinator. You see it? The Drenchinator. And the Drenchinator operates by...
Tell them what it is.
It's a squirt gun is what he's pumping.
I'm praying about whether to follow through on this illustration.
I call it the gospel of accommodation because it's adapting and adjusting the gospel to appease.
So now here's a couple of preachers that is explaining what they think this is. Now, this is, again, David Wilkerson, what we heard earlier in the show, and then Paul Washer following him. I thought this was great, actually.
Trapped sinners. This gospel accommodation is primarily an American cultural invention to ease our lifestyle. It appeals primarily to America, rich and prosperous. It was invented out of hell itself. This new gospel is sweeping the America and the nation. It's influencing ministers of every denomination. It's giving birth to mega churches. Some of the largest churches in the United States are involved in this gospel. It's a non-confronting, convenient gospel adapted. It is spoon-fed to the congregation. The seeker-friendly churches, they are springing up now overnight, and suddenly thousands attend. This new gospel is being propagated by bright, young, intelligent, talented ministers. They came upon a formula by which you can go into any city in any town and almost overnight build a mega church. The churches are run like corporations. The pastor's the CEO, chief executive officer. And it's big business. And this formula is now being cleverly packaged. And it is now being pushed in seminars all over the United States. It sounds good. What they say sounds very good. It sounds spiritual in its goals. It sounds like Jesus is the central theme. And folks, I'm not going to name any names because I'm not talking about the character of these men. I'm talking about the gospel that they preach.
Amen.
Let me share with you something that I see in the youth group, but I also see in the church at large, individual congregations. Because we have dumbed down the gospel, because we're not preaching the true gospel, and we are using carnal means to attract people. If you use carnal means to attract men, you're going to attract carnal men, and you're going to have to keep using greater carnal means to keep them in the church. So what has happened is this. We have these large churches filled with many unconverted carnal people. But in those churches, we also have this small group of people that honestly want Christ, and they honestly want His Word, and they honestly want to be transformed. They don't need anything else. All they need is true worship of the true God and Scripture being preached to them and lived out before them. That's what they want. Now, I want to tell you the great sin of the American pastor. And this has got me in a lot of trouble, but it's true. This small group of converted people in that local church, all they want is Jesus. And all they want to do is the right thing. They want purity. They want truth. They want Christ. But the pastor, in order to keep this larger group of unconverted people, he caters to them. So while he is feeding these carnal men and women with carnal things, he is letting the sheep of God starve to death, and he is going to stand before God one day in judgment.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Jack, you had a personal story. Yeah, you're up.
Guys, this goes a lot deeper than this. There's the whole feel-good movement, too. And that is that you're supposed to be up. That if you're in the Spirit, everything's supposed to be wonderful all the time. Riches isn't just in money and everything. Riches is in personality. You're always going to be good. And I was in Costco. And there was, those people that have those little booths where they serve samples as you walk down the aisle. They mm-hmm. give you, a little sample of ice cream or cookies or Dorito chips or something. And anyway, I walked by this one lady and I had a Christian witness. I guess it's called formerly witness wear, a shirt that, I wear a lot of shirts that talk about God and my faith. And she saw my shirt and I had just gone through something and I wasn't feeling that great. And she said, nice shirt. I said, well, thank you. I said, are you born again? She said, yes, I am. And I said, well, good for you. Amen. and she said, what's with you? I said, oh, well, I'm having one of those days. It's not exactly an up day. It's one of those days when, things just aren't going right. Are we being bad?
Are we being bad
Christian today?
Is that what she said to
yes,
you?
Yes, yeah. That's what she said to me. Are we being a bad Christian today? And I said, excuse me. And she said, you're not glorifying God today? Are you not up on the Lord? And I said, she said, the Lord didn't, you know, he didn't come and die on a cross so that, that you could have this, this that you could not glorify him every minute and be excited and loving your life. And I said, excuse me? And I said, have you read your Bible?
Hmm.
I said, because when I read my Bible, I said, David, you know, he was hunted by Saul. And he was really down. Okay. Job lost everything.
Yeah,
and he
press, huh?
And he was threw himself into ashes and sackcloth, and and his whole family said to denounce God because, you know, and he said, should I worship God? I said, why would he use the words if it wasn't relevant for us today?
And then
he said, should I worship God when things are good?
Yeah.
But not when things are bad?
Right.
Okay, well, that means, guys, something's going to be bad now and then.
And you're then not Jonah gonna, wasn't too happy, was he?
Well, no, and Jonah definitely was not. But here's the kicker, guys. What this is doing, this is setting up these poor people for a fall. Because what happens is they join these churches, they listen to this prosperity, even if it's not money preaching, it's prosperity and spirit preaching. And these people believe that they're supposed to wake up on fire for God every day, and everywhere they go and everyone, everything is supposed to be wonderful and glorious and blah, 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 always up, 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 up. Well, what happens when tragedy hits?
Hmm.
What happens when their mother dies, or their a two-year-old child dies, or their child gets in an auto wreck? Or say that there's kids in the military and becomes missing in action. Well, all of a sudden, where's God? It puts the question in their mind, Lord, why is this happening to me?
Right.
Okay, they get discouraged in their spirit because, well, wait a minute. The Bible says that God will never leave me nor forsake me. And Lord, I know that you won't let anything happen to my son over in Iraq or wherever. And then her son dies. This causes a falling away or a running away from God working on her. Okay? Here's the deal, guys. Can somebody accept Christ as their Savior, fully loving him in their heart, and repenting of their sins and accepting them Lord as their life, even in a church where they're preaching the wrong stuff? Mm. Yes, because it's a relationship with God. Okay?
Right.
So you can be a Catholic and accept Christ. You can be a Mormon and accept Christ, because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts,
it's
not
the church.
You and I,
right.
Not the church. But here's the deal. They're learning all this other stuff that makes them doubt God when things fall apart. You can't be up all the time, guys. And this is a falsehood of the ministry. This is Satan within the church. Because guess what happens? If you doubt God, wait a minute, God, why did you let my husband divorce me? Why did you let my wife cheat on me? Why did my son get F's in school all week? I've had him in church since he was a baby. Mm-hmm. All these questions you hear hear people ask.
Mm-hmm.
That why? Okay, here's a good one. I never smoked a day in my life, Lord. Why did you let me get cancer?
Yeah.
Okay, and people all of a sudden they get discouraged, and all of a sudden their faith in God is challenged. And if they weren't actually born again anyway, Satan owns them now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a big gaping hole that God was supposed to fill. But because of all these lies preached from the pulpit and not a true faith in Christ, knowing that he's going to be there for you during the good times and the bad times. Let me ask you a question. When do you know somebody's truly on your side, truly there for you? Is it when things are going awesome and great and wonderful? Or is it when the bottom falls out of your world and there's those few, maybe that one, that sticks with you through thick and thin? No matter how hard it gets, they're there for you.
Mm.
And that's God. God's always there for us. He doesn't forsake us. But it's in the valley of the shadow of death that we learn our faith. I'm here to tell you guys, if you don't know Jesus Christ without this Bible, you don't know Jesus Christ. If you can't be faithful to God without having to go to church, I love going to church, but if you can't be faithful to God without hitting the church, you know, I hear this lie about getting filled with the Holy Spirit on Saturday. And, you know, when your batteries get down and you get a little low on the spirit, you got to come back on Wednesday night or Tuesday night and get that pump back up so you can make it through the rest of the week. That's a lie. God, His Holy Spirit, if it's dwelling inside you, it's 100% of what you need. Jesus is 100% of what you need. You can't get the glass any fuller. It can't be overfilling with the Holy Spirit. Because you, if you have a glass and it's full of the Holy Spirit, it's full.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't get any more full. Now, you can get more zealous. That's in the Word of God. You can get more zealous about your faith. But you can't get any more full. Okay, so you don't need to be refilled. You need to be refocused.
Ah, amen.
Okay.
Amen to that.
So, hey, also, Jack, you had another story. If you can remember this one, you told me this a long time ago, so I don't know. But you visited.
I am old.
Yeah. Well.
Well, we're not debating that one.
Oh, wow, man. Dude, I felt that one shoot across the bow. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
No, you visited a church years ago, I think in Fresno or Clovis or somewhere around here, and you saw that the pastor of this little church had a nice vehicle. Remember that one?
Oh no, are you talking about the one that the pastor of the church that had? The blinged Hummer?
Yes, that one.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a good one, okay. Bobby. If you haven't
all
heard
right,
it.
Let me listen.
This was actually in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was
And I was doing storm repair work on after hurricanes, and I get a call. My company gets a call from this church, and the pastor wants to meet me at this church. And so I go there, and I was there on time, but I guess nobody was there, it didn't look like, but there was this beautiful, I mean, talking top of the line, gold labeled, the largest Mercedes they make, brand new, parked out front. But I knocked on the door, and nobody answered. And so I waited outside. I figured, well, maybe somebody's going to show up. And all of a sudden, I see this Hummer come in, and it's got... It's beautiful, it's raised, it's beautiful black, it's gorgeous. And there's spinning wheels on it, gold labeled, everything. And this pastor gets out of this truck, and he has a $7,000 suit on. He's got fancy Italian loafers. He made Mr. T look like he was wearing trinkets.
Okay? I'm the fool.
And his hands had diamonds and bling all over them, you know. And he said, are you the roofer? And I said, yes, I am. And he says, well, my wife, Bishop something, rather, he told me her name, is inside, and she runs the business of the church and the school. And he goes, I run the properties and the rental properties and the shopping malls we own. He goes, and I preach on, you know, we my wife and I share some preaching and stuff, but we're a couple, that a pastor and couple. And I said, oh, okay, well, I've heard of that before. Don't have to agree with everything, but I heard of it before.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he started telling me, you know, that the shopping mall near there that they owned and they rented it out. And the apartment complex near the church, they owned it and they rented it to the people that lived there that went to their church. And the school, all the kids in there, all the church members had part of being a member there was your children need to go to the church's school. And I said, it was a big corporation.
Yeah.
I mean, a real good business. Okay. Right. And I looked at him and I kind of understood why he had all this gold on. And all his chains. And I said, man, I said, you know, I got to say something. I've known a lot of pastors in my time, and most of them don't have two nickels to rub together. They live in a, you know, a quaint home. They drive a Ford Taurus, an older Ford Taurus.
Oh, I remember those.
Okay.
mine blew up.
And they buy their suits at $79 at Sears back in the day, you know? And I go, and I said, but man, you guys got it going on.
Right.
I said, you driving this hot car. I mean, who doesn't want to drive a $100,000 gold labeled Hummer, right? With all the spinning wheels, the 22s. I mean, this is the big wheels, the big giant suckers, and spinning wheels and all that stuff. I mean, this thing looked like solid gold mine. I mean, it was a lot. It cost a lot of money. And he got all proud, and he said, yes, this is called living under the favor of God.
Oh.
He says, you know how well how faithful the congregation is by how well the pastor is cared for.
Wow.
And his family. And he said, and my congregation are very faithful.
Okay. Evidently.
And then
look at the church.
And what I saw was the pastor and his wife were the richest people in the church. Everybody else lived in a poor neighborhood. Everybody else had, you know, they weren't wealthy at all by any means, and most of them were on the poor side. Okay.
So how is he getting all this dough?
Well, I sat through a service because, you know, I'm going, they want to meet with me after Sunday service to do the deal on the roof. And so I sat through their service, and in this service, it blew my mind. The pastor got up there first thing, and he says, you know, we made our bills this month. I know we're faithful and everything. He said, but, you know, today we're $60,000 behind in our bills. And we're going to need at least 20 people that are going to donate $1,500 today.
What?
Yeah. And he said, and he said, now come on, I know you got faith. You got to step out on faith. You know, if you got to put on your credit card, I mean, he lays basically all the way down to 50 people at $20 donations. I mean, they went all the way down the ladder from $1,500. Once they got a few of those, and they went to $1,000, and they got a few of those, they went to $800, and then they worked their way. I'm going to say half the service was picking people's pockets.
Man.
Okay, and telling them, like Bobby said earlier, that, you know, you're only as faithful as much as you want to come out of your pocket. It's God's money, and you got to give back to him with his. Now, under the contract, the covenant with Abraham, which by being a Christian, you now are what do they call it, Bobby, when you're grafted? You're grafted into the vine of the Jews. You're grafted into the Jews, the original agreement. You adopted children of God. And so now you come under the blessing, you come under the covenant of Abraham, that Abraham had with God. God told Abraham and that his people would multiply and that they'd have all they needed and all this stuff. And so you come under the promise of Abraham here and all these different things that have to do with gaining wealth. And he told him, he said, look, you can't outgive God. God gave Abraham back, gave Job back 10 times what he had given. And so if you ain't giving enough, you ain't getting enough.
So he used the Bible.
Yes.
For his
to
own.
To pick pockets.
Yeah. Wow.
And he said, if you ain't giving enough, you ain't getting enough. If you ain't got no blessings, well, the reason why is because you ain't faithful enough with your money. You ain't stepping out on faith.
So meanwhile, his congregation are probably losing their houses because they're putting up money for this guy, And if he's really 60,000 and dead in the church, he could probably sell his Hummer.
And
you know?
Guess what? And this was right at the time when we had the 2009 crash, 2010, 11.
Was it 2008?
2008, 2009. Yeah. It was the recession. Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And this was when everybody was hurting. People were, homes were going into foreclosures, all kinds of stuff. And
I hope he asked for forgiveness, man, because that.
You know, and this is happening all over. Okay, I was at another church in Tulare. And this is when I first came back to California when I was young. I think I was like 20. And I walked in this church and I went there for a short time. And the pastor and his wife and their two daughters were treated like royalty, okay? And I went to a Christmas party at their house, and everybody's they had like a church setting with mm-hmm. with chairs lined up like pews, and in front of the church on a makeshift, it looked like the Olympics. You know, in the Olympics, the gold medalist has a higher platform than the silver medalist. You know, and all the way down it was it gold, bronze, silver, or something like that.
Yeah,
and each one has a little tier lower. Well, on the top tier was the pastor and his kids, two daughters, and his wife. And the next tier was the elder of the churches. And then it dropped down to the next level of elders in the churches. And all the people that lived there that I saw at this church were close to poverty.
Right.
And at this Christmas party, it was all about what gifts they were giving the pastor and his family.
Hmm.
And the pastor's daughters had, back when it was still legal to do this, they had fur coats on.
Illegal.
You know? And
before PETA got involved.
Right.
Huh?
The wife had a mink coat on type thing. You know, they all had furs hanging off of them and bling and everything else. And a couple weeks, and the reason why this is important is because I was poor and I was a young Christian. And I couldn't, and I didn't even know what tithing was.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'd been there for 3 months, and they cornered me one day, and they said, "Okay, Jack, you've been attending church for 3 months, and it's time for you to step up and honor God."
Hmm.
And I said, "What are you talking about? I thought I was honoring him. I'm attending church and regular." And I mean, these people had church Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, and Sunday night, and Sunday day. Okay, they had church every day of the week.
Yeah.
Okay, and their church lasted 5 hours, kind of thing. Yeah, and so I said, okay, well, what do you want? What do I need to do to be faithful? They said, well, you have to start tithing and you have to start giving offerings. And I said, well, I barely got a job. I don't exactly have any money. And they said, well, don't worry about it. We've been keeping tabs.
Huh.
And how much money you make now? And I said, really, you're asking me that? And they said, yeah. What do you think your monthly gross is? And I said, and I told them what it was. And they said, okay, well, that breaks down to this much money a week. And if you can't give it in the plate, you can give it in service. Wow. And I said, okay, so you know, I'm thinking clean the pews or something like that, right?
Yeah.
No. He said, you know, we have a school out in the country, and on the school is a horse boarding ranch. And Saturday, come on, show up out there and you can pay out your tithes. And so I didn't know. I'd never experienced anything like this. So I show up out there.
Oh, man, you win.
I show up out there, and they hand me a shovel, and they walk me up to a stall, and they say, okay, well, go ahead and start cleaning out the horse stalls. This will be your new job until you can get right with your tithes.
Wow.
And I said, what?
And even,
they said, well, you owe God this money.
You even knew this was wrong, and you weren't even a strong Christian yet.
No. And they said, well, you owe, this is God's money. You owe him. Are you going to rob God?
Wow.
And I said, well, no, I don't want to rob God. And then they read me in the Bible where the couple got demolished by God for it was in the when the Jericho, when the trumpets went down and God said, you don't take any spoils, blah blah blah, and the one couple did take spoils, and then they got called into the tent and they were challenged. You were told not to take any spoils, and you, yet you did. Yeah. And they confessed it all that they did, that they did take some spoils.
Yeah, but that was a totally different situation.
And then God poof, they were gone, right? You wiped them out. They were dead, killed immediately. Well, they read these types of things off to me. Fear tactics. And so I'm like, so this is what I'm into now, right? Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you can't rob God.
Wow.
And so here's a shovel, here's a spoon. Lunchtime's at such and such. Did you bring a lunch today? I said, I didn't know I was going to be working today. And they said, don't worry. We'll have lunch here. It's $5 a plate.
Oh, we'll just put on your tab.
And it'll be put on your tab.
Oh, really?
They keep records. No, wow. They were serious. They keep records. How much you should be paying, how much you're supposed to pay.
That sounds a lot like a...
And 20%, by the way. It wasn't 10%.
Oh.
10% was tithing, 10% for offering.
That sounds a lot like when my grandmother, she lived in... where was it? Idaho for a while. And I guess in Idaho they talked about she always said how they always kept all of their stuff. They lived in the basement. Like, so all the living room stuff, all of that stuff was in the basement, and up in the regular part of the house it was pretty bare, because some of the Mormon bishops or whatever they were would periodically come to visit the homes and would just kind of peek inside, and or would come in and have some coffee or whatever. And based off of what they saw, they would kind of get an assessment of what they expected your weekly
monetary
contribution would be. Mm-hmm. And they would keep calculations, and if it didn't match up, there would be a conference, there would be a hearing, there would be a gathering of the bishops with that family.
Yeah, wow. No, I had a Mormon kid. I had a Mormon kid work for me in Hanford, and he told me this exact same thing. He said that they report their payroll,
mm-hmm.
and they actually take their whole. In some congregations, they literally take their paycheck and sign it over to the church, and the church gives them back their portion. So you bring all your money to the church. The church takes what they need,
wow.
And they give you back your portion.
That's just robbery. So,
and so anyway,
getting
yeah,
back
guys,
to your story. Okay, so yeah. So real quick, what ended up happening? I mean, well, you didn't stick around long, did you?
No. I started getting in debt.
Oh, you did stick around for a little bit.
Well, a couple more weeks. Yeah, okay. And I start getting in debt, and I'm like, wow. And they go, well, if you can't, and then they wanted to get me further in debt. It's called slavery, by the way. And I said, and they said, you got to play. I was going through a hard time, and they said, well, you know, we have an apartment here in the barn, and it's not a big place, but it is an apartment. And
you can live in the barn.
You can live in the barn.
They just called it an apartment for you.
They called it an apartment for me. And it was a little apartment. It was like a studio built inside the barn.
Like a refrigerator and a bathroom?
Yeah, it had everything that you'd want. It was a little studio apartment inside the barn.
Oh, okay.
And that way I wouldn't have to travel that far to clean the horse stalls, okay?
You could smell it on it.
And so they were going to charge me rent on it.
Oh, man.
So I would be in debt to this church forever, basically. An indentured slave.
Wow.
And I said, well, no.
Before I put your lights out.
Yeah. No. And so I my first impressions of the Christian church were not good.
Yeah.
I told you the story about walking in the church after accepting Jesus Christ in my jail cell. And as soon as I got out, I went to a church on Sunday, and the deacon, when I walked in, I didn't have any clothes, guys. I've been in jail for 6 months fighting his charges. And when I accepted Christ, I had what I had on my back, basically. And I walked in this church, and this guy looked, like Bobby said, he took one look at my clothes and assessed my value and decided that I was some kind of heathen because, hey, my clothes were what a hippie would wear, basically. Or at this time, it was a John Travolta style, you know, dance fever kind of thing. And he automatically related me to that because that's what I was before I accepted Christ, 6 months earlier before I went there, because this is all the clothes I had.
So what, you were wearing like a disco pirate shirt and showing your chest hair?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so he jumped down my throat and he says, "What are you doing here? You're here to pick up on our young, innocent girls. I know what you're here. You get out of here right now." And so that was my first impression. And so I thought I'd give it another try, and I came to California. And the next two churches I walked into, one was this church I just explained to you, and another one was worse than that one. And I knew my – let me just say this, guys. I'm not an intelligent guy like that. I didn't know Christianity, but the Holy Spirit that was inside me guided me and told me this was wrong. Otherwise, I'd still be there because I'd been in debt for the rest of my life, okay?
Man.
But the Holy Spirit knew the truth. Remember, the Bible says that don't worry about what you'll say in those times of confrontation, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words. Well, the Holy Spirit also, the Bible says that when you come up to it, when you come upon another Christian, that the Holy Spirit that resides in them and your Holy Spirit will testify one to another. You don't have to say a word. The Holy Spirit's, it's the same Holy Spirit. They recognize it recognizes itself.
Yeah.
And so
you and I have had that situation in some convenience stores as we on our work trips, you know.
Right.
So guys, I have, for me, I have three, to kind of wrap this topic up before we get into some other stuff here after the break. But before we go to break, I've got three keys how not to be deceived by this crap. Let's be honest with you. That's what it is.
It's trash. Crap.
Yeah. So.
Deception.
Deception. The first thing, obviously, is you've got to understand and know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Okay? That's actually a precursor for these next three things. You've got to understand that first.
There is no other way but through Jesus Christ.
Right. So anybody that says anything else, forget it. Okay? That's not true. The truth is, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's the truth.
Yes.
So you accept him for who he is, who he said he was. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He was the ultimate blood sacrifice for our sins, for our freedom of our sins, for freedom to get away of separation of God. Now, when you become a follower in Jesus Christ, then guess what, guys? You become close to him. And so now you don't have to be away from him anymore, because unbelievers, they're going to be separated from God in eternity. Okay? So, the first thing...
They're separated from God right now.
Well, yes, but for all of eternity. I mean,
right.
Look, it says in the Word that God is good and he created all things good. Now, people want to reject God. People want to reject Jesus Christ. What they're doing is they... You take that away, guess what? It's all darkness. It's all corruption. They don't understand that. So anyways, the first thing here is, I says, this is for me. Pray daily. Give a quiet time. Even if it's 10 minutes in the morning. And this is what I do, okay? I do, before I go to work, I get up 2 hours early. And so I have a little quiet time with God. And I pray and I ask the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to, you know, on this job here. And sometimes I get nervous. It depends on what the job is. Sometimes I don't know, you know, oh, I'm getting nervous. So I pray, and I ask the Lord to guide me. I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me through the day. And I just have a little quiet time with him. And then you read the Bible daily. Just give 10 minutes of reading the Bible. You can start with that. try a week of 10-minute reading, okay? Every day, what does that have to be? In the morning or in the evening or whenever you can. Maybe you get away from the kids or whatever for the afternoon. Whenever is best for you, just go to a quiet place. Just take 10 minutes out of your busy day and read Scripture. And pray first and say, Lord, what do you want me to read today? Because sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I don't know where to start. So read the Bible daily as much as you can. And then, of course, the third thing is abide in Jesus. Well, what does that mean, daily? It means walking with Jesus, walking with Him side by side. It means being close to Him. There are days, Jack, where, especially when I'm not working with you, I'm working with somebody that, is not a Christian, usually. So, especially in those days, I pray constantly. I don't pray out loud, but I pray in the Spirit. I pray in my head. I pray in my heart, asking the Lord, what do you want me to do next? And, not all the time does that happen, but I try. And that's when the Bible says, don't stop praying. Now, that doesn't mean...
consistency.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you get on your knees all day long and you pray. No, it just means just pray whenever you can and throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, prayer, there's several levels of praying. And there's the Bible says we're supposed to be constant in communication
yes.
with God. And He is, here's the deal. I said this last week. If you want to lead somebody to Christ or somebody's got asked you, will you pray for me? Say no, but I'll pray with you. If you want to pray, let's pray together. And here's the deal. When you're doing outreach, if you a lot of people want to take them through the Romans Road or something and they want to slap them around with Bible mm-hmm. verses. But if you can say, hey, you got a minute? Do you mind praying with me? And I'll lead off and you can tell God what you want to tell God because He's listening. And you cannot be any closer to God right now in the state you're in unless you're talking to God. If you're talking to God, you're as close as you can get until He's accepted Him as your Savior. Hmm. And He's going to hear you. Okay? And they're now in communication with Almighty God. Mm. And we forget that sometimes. Almighty God.
Yes.
Almighty God. God owns everything. Satan's under the delusion that he owns it. But God owns everything.
And everything Satan does, God allows it. So even that, Satan's got to get permission to do.
Yes. Even and the greatest example of that is...
Isn't that crazy? It's funny, right?
And the greatest example of that is Job.
Yes.
Okay. He had to get permission. And what did God say? God put limitations on him. He says, you can do anything you want to him, but you can't kill him.
You can't kill him.
So guess what?
Yeah.
There's Satan's understanding that God is more powerful
still
than him.
Still in control.
He's still in control.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's people out there delusional, and they want to believe that the Bible says that the word, God's word, was written to confound the wise. So, guys, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, I like red print Bibles
mm-hmm.
because the red print is God speaking in the New Testament, and I like starting with the Gospels and reading what Jesus Christ said Himself. What His personality is. Because here's the deal, guys. In order to become intimate with any person, what do you have to have?
A relationship.
Relationship.
Constant communication. Relationship. Mm-hmm. You have to actually spend time with them to get to know them. Okay? And that's what God wants from you. He wants to spend time with you, and He wants you to spend time with Him. And as Tim said, there's two ways of doing that. One is in prayer, and the other one is in reading your word. There's a third one, and that is in worship. Okay? By the way, reading your word and praying is also forms of worship.
A form of worship, yeah.
Okay? So everything becomes worship. But a relationship with the one, this is going to hit some people sideways, I know. With the one and true, only living God. There are no other gods before Him. Satan is not a god. The angels are not gods. The guy that does good on your in your neighborhood, the pastor that preaches a great message, he's not God. And we see this in churches, and it's on the same topic we're on, is that there's a lot of churches that have been split up over the years. And here's a little testimony to your faith. If you go to a church and the church has this fabulous pastor, dynamic speaker, and there's a falling away and the pastor leaves the church and goes somewhere else, and a good portion of the church leaves and follows him, my question is, were they following God? Or were they following the pastor, the preacher?
All right.
Because one of the things that we realize with cults is they follow the preacher. The preacher's dynamic. The preacher is interesting. The preacher knows how to manipulate. The preacher actually knows, you're going to love this, it's been proven, hypnotism. Mm-hmm. They know how to hypnotize. Well, who are these powers from?
Amen. So with that, we're going to take a break, guys. I really hope you enjoyed this topic. It was incredible to actually go through and this week and dig into. So I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be right back. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have some crazy news for you, and I got one more clip for y'all. So please stay tuned.
You'd keep your mouth shut if you knew it was good for you, buddy.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Let's get jacked up. We'll be right back after these messages.
Remember to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Let's Get Jacked Up. Check out our website at letsgetjackedup.com. Listen and download our episodes from our website, the Spreaker app, and of course at fringeradionetwork.com.
Hey folks, this is Tim Parrish. Here's another Doc T Sports moment. In case you haven't noticed, it's baseball season now. And so here's a testimony from Texas Rangers outfielder and all-star Josh Hamilton.
You know, drugs and alcohol, you know, I never used one without the other. The drugs were the closest thing. For that adrenaline rush for me of throwing somebody out, you know, the ball's hit, you get under it, the crowd's starting to build, the guy's tagging, the whole play is being created in front of you. And then when he's out and the roar of the crowd and that adrenaline rush you get. When baseball wasn't there, that's what that did for me. And that's what got me addicted so quickly. I got drafted after high school to play professional baseball. Did really well, and I had more money than I'd ever wanted to have. You know, my parents were there watching me play. It was a dream come true for me. So me and my parents, on the way home from a spring training game, got in a car accident. A dump truck ran a red light as we were turning left and plowed into us. The two things I really knew in life, baseball and my parents, were taken away from me at the same time. So I had to find somewhere I could turn where I felt comfortable. Got tattoos. I started getting tattoos, hanging out at the parlor all day. And the people there, they were good people. They just made bad choices. That's where I was introduced to my first drug and my first drink. I went down a path of destruction. You know, I actually got suspended from baseball. And it wasn't because of anybody else. It was because of the way I was living, the choices I was making. Everything in my life up until this point, I could do them all. I didn't need help from anybody. I was good at everything. And this, the drugs and the alcohol, I couldn't stop doing it. And I wanted to do more. And it was chaos. This guy in a suit, dark suit, and you know, I was fighting him. And you know, I know it was the devil, because I was fighting him and beating him and knocking him down, and he just had this cold smirk on his face, and he just kept getting up and coming after me. And you know, I was to the point where I was worn out, and I couldn't fight anymore. And I woke up. It scared me so bad. And the next night, I asked God. I said, I need help. I said, I've been trying to do this so long, but I can't do it anymore. I can't try anymore. I said, because I fail on my own. You do with me what you want to do with me. But I surrender. And I noticed the Bible at the end of the bed, and I started just looking through it, and the verse that caught my eye is James 4:7. It says, humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And that's exactly what I did. Within 6 months, I had the same exact dream again. You know, I was knocking him down and beating him and hitting him, and he stood up and he just looked at me. And I looked to my side, and I didn't see Jesus, but I knew he was standing beside me, because we started chasing the devil. And I never woke up feeling more calm and at peace than I ever had.
Don't stop believing. That's good advice, even biblical advice. But how does a Christian actually do this? I'm Chips Ross, pastor of Westwood Baptist Church in Fresno, California. The answer is not new. Moses taught this to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 6. Moses was days from death and did not want to see his people fall away. His message in this chapter is how to keep on believing. First, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. To keep on believing and never fall away, you must love God, and He is worthy of that love. Next, in verse 6, God's word needs to be on your heart. These words, Moses said, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You have to internalize it, and this means more than just memorizing it. Hear God's word, read God's word, and make an effort to think about and understand God's word. Repeat this often. Verse 7 gives another step. Tell God's word to others. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Anytime is a good time to share God's word. Encouraging others to know God's word and believe God strengthens you to keep on believing in Him. And finally, count your blessings. Throughout the chapter, Moses reminds Israel of God's blessings when they obey His word. Verse 18 says, you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. Verse 24, so the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always. Don't stop believing. It's very possible, but it's going to require effort. It's worth it. Love your God. Love His word. Tell others and see God's blessings in your life. May it be well with you, Christian.
Make Master Copy your one-stop shop for all your copy needs. Whether it's digital, black and white, or full-color copies, NCR carbonless paper, bindings, laminating, business cards, rubber stamps, sending a fax, or rush orders, Master Copy has it all.
Located at 4910 North Cedar Avenue, behind Jabba Juice, across from the 7-Eleven. Their phone number is 559-225-7814. That's 559-225-7814. Or get a hold of me, Trey, by emailing him at mastercopycenter@yahoo.com.
This is Let's Get Jacked Up on Fringe Radio Network, the only network station worth listening to. Yeah.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this and totally redeem yourself.
Welcome back to the show. Now here's Jack, Tim, and Bobby.
Listening to us on the Fringe Radio Network.
Hey, I know that voice.
Oh yeah, whose voice is that?
You.
No.
Welcome back to Let's Get Jacked Up. You know what it's time for, ladies and gents? Do you know, Bobby?
It's time for you to turn that bumper off. It's getting a little loud.
And now it's time for Bobby's Crazy News.
Who is that?
Oh, you know, we hire our people now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Because we're fringe rich.
Yeah, fringe rich. Yeah.
Bobby's Crazy News, brought to you live from Fresno, California, where we learn about all the crazy things that happen, usually in Florida, but sometimes in Fresno. All right.
He loves taking out my state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, okay, just because you guys have that weird law where everything has to be published or whatever, I don't know, it's weird. Anyway, so we've been talking about all this weird stuff going on, you know, like just in the past few weeks, you know, about conspiracy theories and all that stuff. And even now, you know, the something that's not weird, it's more factual and incredibly sad, is how the church is starting to change in a fundamental level, right? So I just wanted to throw this idea at you. What if scientists were able to prove that we were actually not living in the time that we think we are? How would you think about that?
You mean like time travel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How?
Ish. How? Ish, in a way. Okay, well, in this, in this independent scientist study, okay, experts based...
I got to hear this.
On many, they have the study based on many historical documents that came to this conclusion of this hypothetical idea that we were actually not living in 2019 but 1722.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about that, Rob?
Yes.
Jack?
Uh-huh. This huge leap in the history's timeline may have been the result of some confusion in the. When there was a Pope switch or something around 1582 AD, but they believe that there was some sort of a period between the 8th to the 11th centuries where there's some inconsistent, vague, or imprecise calendar record keeping.
So what you're saying, Bobby, is that there's a gap in time.
Ooh, a gap
hypothetically,
theory.
Yes, if you will.
No. What I'm saying, wait a minute. Okay, I woke up this morning, and I knew what day it was. But what Bobby's saying now is these scientists are saying that these people lost a few hundred years.
Yeah, 297 years.
297, that they just lost 297 years. That they knew what day it was on one day. But the next day, it was 297
different
days later,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, and that is by anomalian.com. Just wanted to throw that out there. That's where I found that particular article.
Oh, man. All right.
Yeah, pretty odd, right?
You got another one?
No, I've got several, actually.
Okay.
Okay, so the next one up. Have you guys been to 7-Elevens recently, and you noticed that there's music playing? I don't know if you guys notice this, but at my local 7-Eleven,
yes.
When you pull up and you get out, there's loud classical music blaring, okay?
Okay?
It is. And at first I was just like, wow, they're taking a very interesting step as far as, you
classical
know.
Classical music?
Classical, like Mozart, like Bach. Okay. And like, yeah. And,
forgive
and,
me, I just realized something.
Yes.
I haven't been to a 7-Eleven.
Well, we haven't been working
in 7 to 11 years.
In a couple of years, yeah.
So liquor stores are some of the most dangerous places to work. Okay, lots of robberies happen there. Lots of threats happen there. They seem to be a magnet of sketchy individuals, right? So a lot of these places
have
come up.
That's why I don't go there.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a sketchy individual.
A lot of these places have decided to come up with a new way of attempting to detour loitering, okay? And that is to blast classical music. They want to deter teenagers from congregating in the parking lot. They want to detour homeless folk from taking up camp near their location.
Yeah.
So they actually blare it at extremely loud levels. And believe it or not, it's been effective.
Wow. You know what this reminds me of?
Uh-oh.
This is like the when no, you've seen them on, if you ever drive in the mountains or anywhere where there's deer present, they got these little things that you put on your bumper.
Yeah, the
and
whistlers,
they make a,
yeah.
A mm-hmm. It's a whistle that you can't hear,
yeah.
But when you're driving, it makes such a super high-pitched noise that it scares all the animals that can hear it from running in front of you. It scares them away.
Okay.
It's the same concept.
Basically, yes. Yeah. So there was a Modesto franchised.
Modesto.
Yeah, in Modesto, California. Hey, Modestians.
A 7-Eleven capital, by the way.
A 7-Eleven owner there said that once they started blaring the symphonies and operas through the outdoor speakers, the riffraff left.
Wow, yeah, because they can't stand it.
Yeah. So
they should have just put Christian music, like a choir, you know? They got rid of everybody.
That would have been
then.
Too offensive.
Oh, okay. Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Next
up. Still got to say secular is what you're saying.
Right. Yes, apparently it still must be secular.
Okay.
All right, so next up. Let me see if I can find the article now. I had it, and why? Where did it go? It ran away from me.
Well, why are you looking at that? I got one for you, Bobby.
Okay, go for it.
So this is so a little bit back on our topic before. The reason I saved this clip was because the commentary this guy gives afterwards is pretty funny. So this is a pastor that's telling his congregation, I think this is in Kenya, but telling his congregation to take off their underwear, at least the women.
Oh.
Yeah. So
okay. I remember this one.
Sorry. So, yeah, Jack, you sent me this one. Thank you for that, by the way. Here it is.
A pastor tells his women to give up panties in church for Christ. Comes to us from Kenya. A pastor in Kenya has ordered some of the women in his church to not wear panties and bras in church. The reason for this is Jesus could enter their lives more freely. Pastor Johi of the Lord's Propeller Redemption Church in Dandora, Kenya has stated the undergarments are ungodly. People need to be free in body and spirit to receive Christ. The women complied with the pastor's orders and made sure their daughter did so. Apparently, this did not sit well with many residents of the town, and they took action. According to newspapers in Kenya, a mob grabbed one of the senior pastors and marched into the church. When they got there, they forced the doors open, stole cash from his cell phone, cash and his cell phone, and desecrated the church by breaking windows and trashing out the building. Always the crazy stories in the church. We've had the pastor said his penis was full of holy milk. We've had the naked church. All types of stuff, but this is a new one. T-shirt in my panties, not on in the church. I would like to kindly remind you of what I always say when I hear these stories. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. You got to read in your word. Pastor, you got to show me the scripture that said I can't wear my drawers and my bras. You got to show me. You can't just tell me that God will more freely enter my life with no panties and no bra on. You got to show me in which scripture, what translation did you get that, because we
must have been the NIV.
Unless you can't wear no panty, no bra. We don't go to this church no more. You understand me? You ain't gonna just be having my wife all free, all up in the sanctuary, just looking at what God has blessed her with. What about the women that are blessed? Amen. They gonna be boom. They can't praise break. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go. You need to have it because you be sweating, they ain't got no covering. It's going to be sweat central in there. And then what if the church is musty? Whose fault is that? I can't concentrate. If it's musty in here, the ladies got the, where are you going to put the baby powder? Baby powder keeps you dry. Dry keep the sweat. Sweat keep the funk away. They ain't got no sweat. That's the baby powder. They just out here sweating and it's coming down their legs. You got the focus in church. Not to mention the distraction. If a woman is blessed and the man's trying to praise the Lord, and she's Delilah all up in the place. She's Bathsheba all up in the sanctuary. You can't just have people out here with no draws on.
So there you go.
No draws on.
That was funny. And true.
But, you know, this is the deception. What got me was that it didn't sit well with the congregation. They beat the guy up, okay? They took his cell phone. They busted it up the church. What's really sad is they took it out on the church, too. They busted the windows and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But they literally took it out on the pastor, took his cell phone, busted his cell phone. I mean, they beat him up.
I don't remember who that guy is, but he should be a Christian comedian. He's a funny guy.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's to tell people in your congregation that the women need to take off their panties and bras and don't be coming to church like that. You know, because God needs to be able to, you know, get up in there better.
That's what I don't get. God needed to get, I don't know, how is Jesus going to get closer to you with your chonies off. I just don't get it.
No.
All right. So check this out.
Go ahead.
Next up, I'm not quite as animated as our friend on your YouTube.
Well, I don't understand why not.
Show. Because it is a life choice I have chosen.
Oh.
Okay. Deadpan, I don't smile. I don't even blink anymore. I just stare at the wall.
I call you Eeyore.
Yeah, thanks for noticing.
I'm Eeyore.
Anyway, so in Dickinson, Texas, police say a woman tried to tell them that the shards of meth that were hidden in her purse were actually healing crystals.
Ah.
Yes. Uh-huh. The Friendswood police say they stopped Cactus. This is her name.
Cactus?
Cactus Calderas. Okay. After she failed to signal a lane change.
Oh.
Okay. Officer said that she looked real nervous and they got permission to search her vehicle. Police say they found the meth in her purse along with a butane lighter and a series of pipes. Miss Cactus is now being charged with possession of a controlled substance.
Well, at least
they were healing crystals.
Yeah.
Okay. I got one for you. When I was back in Florida, it had another Florida story. These two guys were going to take drugs to Florida, right? They had marijuana, and on the way into Florida, they smoked a bunch of weed, and they got all paranoid.
Was
right?
it the marijuana cigarettes?
Yeah, marijuana cigarettes. And, you know, the stuff is legal. You know? And they got all paranoid, right?
Yeah.
So they got it on 911. This is the funniest part because they played it off of a 911 call. And they got all paranoid, and they saw cops everywhere. They saw undercover detectives following them in their cars. Then another one, they're like, "Oh, did you see that one? Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, he's checking us out. Why aren't they moving in?" And for 3 hours, they saw detectives undercover following them everywhere. Oh, man, they want to know where we're taking the weed, dude. They're just following us. They're letting us get to the buyer, you know. And so they pulled over, and they sat there in the car, and they saw one in the parking lot next to him just staring at them. And they knew that this guy was waiting to bust them. And they're like, "Why isn't he coming? Why isn't he coming over and busting us? They've been following us all this time." So the guy goes, "I don't know. But I know what to do about it." So they called 911, and they said, "Okay, send them on in. We got a trunk load of weed, and we're stoned, and we've been driving all night. We're bringing it to Florida to sell it, and we've been followed all the way from the state line. And the state troopers and detectives all around us, but they are not moving in. They're not coming in and busting us. They're just following us and stalking us, and it's driving us nuts, and we can't handle this. And just tell them to go ahead and what's really funny is that they had nobody following them. There were no police around them. There was nobody even knew they were there.
I feel like you told us this story last week.
That was a couple weeks.
2 weeks ago.
But it's a funny story. You got to say it again. Anyway, so the dispatcher, she says, "Well, just so I know that you're the ones we're following, where are you located?"
Right.
And they told her where they're looking. "And do you have any weapons on you?" So that the officers aren't walking in, no, we don't have any guns, blah, blah, or something like that. And they said, and you're in possession of how many pounds of marijuana? And they just admitted everything. "Please just send him in now. I can't take this pressure no more. Look,
paranoid.
He's looking right at us right now. There's one coming up on us now." And she goes, "Just hold your horses. I'll send the unit on over to get you." And she sent a unit to pick him up.
So that is just, that's predictable. That's why you say no to drugs.
Right.
You know why else you say no to drugs?
Why?
Because of these people here. So imagine you are the manager of a Walmart and do you notice a woman walking in with her unleashed dog. You think, maybe I should tell the lady to go outside with her dog. Well, as you go to approach her, she starts taking apart your displays.
Huh?
You become upset with her. You tell her to leave. She complies.
Okay.
But then proceeds to go outside and perform karate moves outside the door. She's 46 years old. Yeah. Did I mention the fact that she also came in with her son, who, seeing what happened to his mother, protested by stripping down naked and began to be sexually explicit with other shoppers?
Oh, because that's what you do.
Yes. He was 26. Okay.
Wow.
He said that he was trying to cover himself by putting his clothes back on after he was being chased down by the police. Officers arrived on the scene and arrested the woman, but not before she allegedly fought officers by kicking the windows of their patrol car. Police say they attempted to arrest her son as well, but he didn't comply either, even going as far as to trying to run over an officer while riding a scooter.
Wow, what's wrong with these people?
Meth. That is what is wrong with these people. Meth. Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much everything I've got.
Wow.
I have a darker one that about a negligent mother from Florida, but I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah.
Well, save it for next week.
We'll save it if I remember.
Florida.
Anyway, so that's my weird news by Bobby Bouget.
Thank you. Thank you.
No,
I don't have a closing.
That's fine. You need to get one. Anyway, so hopefully we didn't bore you guys too much with that one. But yeah, you know, the great thing about the news is that it's always predictable. In the fact that it's not ever predictable.
I like that one. Oh, man. Hey, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. First of all, or last of all, whatever, I want to give a shout-out to Mike from our work. He's been great with Let's Get Jacked Up. Thank you, Mr. Mike. And you've been giving us some scraps for our stuff. We appreciate it.
Yeah, he's been real, you know, every time we need anything, he's more than welcome to offer a helping hand, and helping hand is a huge thing when you're trying to get something going, you know.
Yeah. And Jack, real quick, if you could do it in 5 minutes, that'd be great. Hey, how about those Bibles? You have
okay.
an idea for Bibles?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I gotta say that, you know, I've said it before on the show that when God talks to me for some crazy reason, He likes to do it when I'm in the shower. Okay, and he's talked to me many times in the shower, and I've come out with whole books, Christian books. One of them's called Club Christ, and it's about what we talked about tonight, was the falling away of the church. But this time, I was in the shower, and right now they're trying to. You can't say they're trying to outlaw the Bible, but they're trying to change in both California and they're trying to change the Constitution for this LGBTQ thing. And if they do that, then what it's going to mean is that any literature or any learning material that speaks against this LGBTQ thing is a hate document, is illegal, thereby making my Bible illegal, thereby allowing them to pretty much shut down Christianity, true Christianity. And I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just taking a shower. And all of a sudden, I got this vision in my head of Christians all over the planet adhering to God's call to preserve the Bibles. And now I have a bunch of Bibles here, older Bibles, and you can get them at the dollar store for nothing. You can get them at swap meets and yard sales for nothing. But if they outlaw the Bible, then that means that they're going to be like Hitler, and they'll be burning them. They'll be getting rid of them. They may even make it to where that if you like a gun, if you have one in your possession, it's a criminal offense, right? In cities where guns are outlawed, okay. And so, if they make the Bible illegal, there won't be any. So everybody knows what a time capsule is.
Yeah,
it's where you put something in a container that's watertight. You bury it in the ground. And then years and years later, they dig it up And it has a time cap, so it might have pictures of the people at the time, the clothing they wear, maybe some bits of information, a newspaper about what's in the news at that time, that kind of thing. Well, in this time capsule, we put some Bibles in there. We put them in plastic baggies, put them in these buckets, 5-gallon buckets, seal them up real tight, watertight, bury them in the ground. When they outlaw the Bibles, we now have saved the seed of God. And future generations will come upon these Bibles, and the Word of God will be reintroduced to societies. Now, in my vision, it was after the current political powers that are coming into powers are no longer even alive. Hmm. And we can do like a treasure map to where we can hand it down to people. And this way, preserving the Word, or let me say this, God's seed for future generations. And that way they're not destroying all the Bibles. We still have some. And if Christians all over the planet start doing this and kept it secret, but kept it markings where it is, and we'll get more into this later.
Okay.
But kept it secret and only handed it down to those they fully trusted. And let me say this. When I say fully trusted, I mean Christians that have already made a decision in their life that they will die before giving up another brother or sister. They'll die before they deny God and praise Allah or anybody else. That to die is to gain, and that they will give this to another person that has already sold their life to Christ, that's given their life to Christ so much that their life doesn't matter anymore, that they're here to serve God. Mm-hmm. And already dealt with death because they're not afraid to die. And when you find these people, that's the kind of person you give this to, because we don't want Satan and his followers finding them underground and destroying them. Mm. But here's the deal, guys. This is of God, because it's not. I'm not smart enough to think of these things. It came to me in the shower, and it was clear as day that we are to take Bibles, put them in baggies or whatever, make them watertight, wrap them in a towel if you want to. After that, put them in 5-gallon buckets, seal it up with caulking on the top or whatever, and then put the lid on, and then put them down the holes. And take your GPS and figure out its longitude this, latitude that, and then figure out a way to identify where it's at, even if the buildings aren't here. Because what if they demolish all the buildings? Because, you know, the AOE, what's her name? OEA mm-hmm. or whatever, the new Green Deal that she's offered.
Yeah.
It talks about demolishing all the buildings and rebuilding in the entire society.
Wow.
Okay, green. And so if they demolish the buildings, they can legally go down two feet without any purpose, without any consequence. When they're farming, they can plow 2 feet down. So wherever you're at, if you're camping, bury one. But keep it a secret. Map it, but keep it a secret. Because when they start outlawing Bibles, you have now been faithful to God. And there will be a Bible that somebody, God's Holy Spirit, will lead somebody to find that Bible. And the word, the seed will be planted on earth again. Why this is, God gave me this in the shower, I do not know. It's His plan. It's His work. So if you want to join us, we're gonna make this a campaign.
And when we do the first one, we'll even film it. We'll have Facebook it anyways.
Mm-hmm. We'll video it. We'll put it on Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, guys, I want to thank, I hope you enjoy the show. I want to thank Pastor David Wilkerson and Pastor Paul Washer. That was some great clips. And, guys, I hope you enjoyed it. Let's have a word of prayer. Man, dear Jesus, we just thank you that, you know, you led our hearts this week for this topic, and from beginning to end. And Lord, we just thank you for leading us through the show of what you wanted us to talk about. It is so important to understand that the way to heaven for eternity is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to heaven. Narrow is the way. So we say, thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We pray right now that if there is somebody out there that doesn't know you, that they pray right now and ask Jesus into their life, into their heart, and ask for forgiveness for their sins. Because we all have sin and can fall short of the glory of God. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, through you. You died on the cross for our sins, and you rose again. You didn't stay dead. You rose again. And that is why we have life, because you have life through Jesus Christ. And we just thank you for this free gift that you give to us. And all we have to do is believe. And we just thank you. We pray right now for safety back home and a safe week that we can return next week and talk about you again. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 All right, folks, until next week, next Thursday, and who knows, we might even have a giveaway.
Yeah, we'll
leave it at that. We'll talk about it next week.
By the way, give out our call number where they can phone in now for those that are listening so they can be calling in next week.
To talk to the Let's Get Jacked Up crew live on air, call 559-492-9041. And that's 559-492-9041.
Thanks a lot, my little alien friend. And on that, good day, good night, good morning, whatever you are, just remember to be safe and be in Christ.
On Facebook and Twitter at Let's Get Jacked Up. Check out our website at letsgetjackedup.com. Listen and download our episodes from our website, the Spreaker app, and of course at FringeRadioNetwork.com. Remember to be in this world, but not of this world.
You are listening to the Fringe Radio Network at FringeRadioNetwork.com.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Whether you're hosting or just bringing the wine, Total Wine & More has you covered with 8,000 wines, 3,000 spirits, and 2,500 beers at always low prices. Cheers!
Wow, is this deal for real?
Attention, man in the wine aisle. Yes, those deals are real.
What is this place?
Grocery Outlet, where you can get otherworldly deals on premium wine every day.
I'm feeling such bliss.
It's the deals. They do that to people.
Grocery Outlet, Bargain Market.
Welcome to Bargain Bliss.